Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now it's time to talk about NFTs. They are coming into fashion. What started out as a niche idea, popular in cryptocurrency circles and popularized in part through discussions on Clubhouse, this non-fungible token or NFTs has swiftly taken the worlds of music, art, and even fast food by storm. Now, many brands across the industry are itching to figure out ways to get in on the NFT craze. However, the environmental impact of NFTs brought about questions as well. The age of accelerating climate change has also prompted more concerns. So, what environmental impact can NFTs have, and why do NFTs consume so much energy? Well, to explain all this to us is Marissa True, marketing manager of TZ APAC. And she is also host of Tez Talks on radio. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. I hope you're having a great Monday, Marissa. First of all, TZ APAC, or is it TZ APAC? How is it supposed to be pronounced?
Well, I think it sort of just comes down to where you're from. Okay. I'm English, so I would say TZ, and then most often people say TZ. So it's really up to you.
So since we're in Singapore, we'll say TZ as well. TZ APAC. It is a leading Asia adoption entity supporting the Tezos ecosystem, right? So tell us more about TZ APAC and the Tezos ecosystem.
Sure. So TZ APAC or TZ APAC, it's basically the leading Asia-based adoption entity for the Tezos blockchain. So essentially what we do is design blockchain strategies for enterprises and creators, and we work closely with experts and stakeholders within the Tezos ecosystem to help build those up. So we're headquartered in Singapore. We're supported by the Tezos Foundation, which is based in Switzerland. And as you said earlier in my introduction, I'm the marketing manager. So it's my job to build awareness, not just around what we do as a company, but to basically educate the region about what blockchain is, what sets Tezos apart, and also what potential this technology actually has to change how we interact online.
Okay, so McLaren Racing said it plans to build an NFT platform on the Tezos blockchain as well. So how does Tezos implement itself in the NFT world?
So Tezos, essentially, if you think of Tezos as a blockchain, I think that's something that many people actually struggle to understand conceptually. Very few people know what the blockchain itself is. It's essentially a platform. So blockchain is the technology that NFTs and also things like digital currencies, for example, cryptocurrencies, exist on.
Okay.
So when it comes to projects like working with McLaren and also Red Bull Honda Racing, which is the other Formula One team that Tezos is currently backing, it helps them to develop their NFT products by minting things online that can be used as kind of cultivating their fan experience, basically things like collectibles, one-of-a-kind digital assets that provide value, both not necessarily strictly in a financial sense, but also just in a sentimental sense. Fans can kind of engage with the drivers or the team a little bit more closely and develop that sort of bond or connection with the team.
Marissa, can you give me a quick overview of how NFTs actually work?
Yes. So that's something that I think quite a few people have, they've read a lot about NFTs in the press, but it's been quite a difficult concept to wrap your head around.
I'm still scratching my head, really.
So actually, as you actually said earlier in your introduction, NFTs, they stand for non-fungible tokens. And essentially what they are is a digital representation of a unique asset that's represented on a blockchain. So the key characteristics to remember are that it's one of a kind, it has its own value, and it can be bought, traded, and sold. However, it can never be replaced. So they're used to represent digital ownership over things like art, music, and as I said earlier, collectibles, for example, trading cards. And a lot of those things, because we're living in a very digital world, they all exist digitally too. I think where people get confused and often puzzled is where does a digital item derive its value? Because we see everything we consume on the internet, we consume freely, right? So what would an NFT, like how would that be any different? So here we kind of have to understand that value is driven by scarcity. So when it comes to NFTs, it's important to remember that because they're one of a kind, there's limited supply. So the demand and the value is driven by how much people want to own the original. So to draw some kind of parallel, okay. It's sort of like the difference of having the Mona Lisa as your screensaver on your laptop versus a poster of it in your room versus, you know, the original in the Louvre. They all yield different kinds of value.
All right. And also valuable because, as you mentioned earlier, it's not replaceable?
Yes, it's not replaceable. So they're all one of a kind. Mm. And also they can't be sort of split up. Like in the same way, for example, if I give you, you know, a limited edition coin that's kind of been taken out of circulation that was around in the early 18th century, for example, mm-hmm. that coin is going to be very difficult to come across and it's going to have value. But at the same time, if I were to give you the equivalent value, let's say, for example, that coin is now worth $100. I could just give you two $50 notes, but those two $50 notes don't yield the same value as the original coin itself, even okay. if the financial equivalent is there. So it's one of a kind in that sense.
So there are things such as clean and dirty NFT. So what is the difference between the two?
Right. So this is where the reputation for its eco-friendliness comes in, or eco-unfriendliness, I should say. So the difference between dirty and clean NFTs comes down to how energy efficient or green the blockchain that it exists on is. So NFTs got a bad reputation because the major and the most well-known blockchains, so for example, Bitcoin and Ethereum, have been heavily criticized this year for the amount of energy they require to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that exists on those blockchains are assumed to be bad for the environment as well, which is why NFTs that were minted and created on those platforms were considered dirty NFTs.
Mm.
However, what people really need to understand is that not every blockchain is actually built the same. So different blockchains require different levels of energy to run, and some are far greener because they require less energy. And then NFTs that exist on those are what we would consider to be clean NFTs.
So how would we know what is clean and what is dirty?
That's going to basically come down to just understanding where the NFT was minted and it's not and what platform that it exists on. The beauty about something like blockchain is all of the information is transparent, so none of this information is ever hidden from the user, so it's never going to be too difficult to determine. But this is something where we have to get a little bit technical because, yes, you can identify what blockchain it exists on, but how do you know if that's a green blockchain versus an energy intensive one, right? So that's where we have to draw the distinction between two different kinds of blockchains. So there's okay. proof of work,
right?
And then there's proof of stake. Proof of work
okay.
is something like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Mm-hmm. So it requires massive amounts of computing power to process transactions because they're all the transactions are validated by solving complex algorithmic puzzles. Proof of stake, on the other hand, relies on the amount of value that users actually stake to the network to do those same transactions. So Ethereum is proof of work, which is why it's being heavily criticized for a carbon footprint. And then Tezos, for example, relies on a liquid proof of stake mechanism.
Okay.
So to put some kind of relative example, it requires 2 million times less energy than Ethereum to process the same kind of transaction. So, for example, in this case, minting NFTs. And obviously, imagining 1/2 millionth of something is quite difficult. So to put like a visual analogy on it, if the carbon footprint of creating an NFT on Ethereum was the size of a polar bear, for example,
right?
Tezos's footprint is the equivalent of a snowflake on that same polar bear's snout.
Okay. So can you explain to me then, why do NFTs consume so much energy? Is it just the computing power of it, or?
Sure. Technically speaking, the NFT itself is not actually the thing that's consuming the energy.
Okay.
It's actually the process of minting, selling, and buying that requires processing power. So
okay.
same with anything digital. It requires electricity to run, right? So same way when we transfer money through online banking, that requires the electricity off of our phones or off of our computers. So again, it just depends how electricity efficient the system that it runs on is, and that will determine how much energy, you know, creating those NFTs will use.
So I can imagine, after listening to you talk about the energy consumption of this, but wouldn't airlines or agriculture or manufacturing actually use up more energy and emit more carbon? But then those are, well, seem to be fine for people, but not NFTs?
Yes. So that's exactly where there's a large public misunderstanding, or it's almost like a myth-busting scenario, right? Mm. Where the preoccupation with how much energy Bitcoin mining, for example, was taking up, or how much it was requiring to process transactions on something like Ethereum based on their design, that sort of consumed the entire narrative. But at the end of the day, this is a digital product. It's almost running like the internet, so that in the same way we consume energy in all these other ways, but because they've become mainstream technology, we sort of stopped having to look at it and criticize it in the same way. I think it's actually fair to evaluate blockchains based on their eco-friendliness or unfriendliness, because this is an emerging technology, right? So these are questions that are going to shape how the future renditions are designed. However, yes, there are definitely other far more energy-intensive things that we use in the world, airplanes being a massive one.
Right. So then, having talked about the energy consumption of using up all these NFTs, is there going to be a cleaner alternative to this?
So, I mean, that's when it comes to NFTs specifically, I assume you mean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Tezos's design was built to be a lot more energy efficient. So okay. The good news is that blockchains are being built and designed with energy efficiency in mind. Tezos, for example, all NFTs minted on it are considered clean and green because of its energy efficiency and significantly lower carbon footprint. We do also see that a lot of other blockchains are starting to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ethereum itself is actually working on developing its proof of stake offering instead. It actually wants to change how it validates transactions to the same sort of processing model as Tezos.
Right.
It's yet to be seen, hasn't been done yet, but what we do see is the momentum is going in the right direction.
All right. That's good to know, Marissa. Marissa True, marketing manager at TZ APAC and also host of Tez Talks Radio, talking about, well, the sustainable and cleaner NFTs of the world. Thank you very much, Marissa, for joining us here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.